You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with
I don't care what
message,
the doctor says,
Pastor Ralph.
I don't care what they say. I don't care what the world says. My Lord says, I've got you. And by the way, if you know him, he's got you as well. Amen. He says in verse 22, who is gone? In fact, I'm going to read 21 and then 22. The like figure, whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is going into heaven and is on the right hand of God. The verse says, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. And again, he has all power. Chapter 4, verse 1. Say amen if you're with me. Amen. He says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, and indeed he has suffered for us in the flesh, he says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. And so he's talking about the mind of Christ, guys, that our thought process ought to now be a spiritual process. He says, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. In other words, guys, and look, you might not believe it, but it is true that sin no longer has authority over you. Our Lord has all power. And I don't have to bow back to the things I used to do. That don't mean it's not going to call me. We still have a sin nature, and we struggle with that from time to time. In fact, our sin nature wants to be in charge. It wants to take you back to where you left. If something goes on, your sin nature want to tell you, well, you deserve, go get drunk because you just went through that, or somebody gets mad at you. Your sin nature says you need to never forgive them. They did you wrong, and look, you don't need to talk to them no more. That's what the sin nature says, but the Christ in us, the Spirit of God said, hallelujah, if somebody does you wrong, you forgive them. And if your past calls on you, you don't have to listen. In fact, when your past calls and says you need to start doing this again, you need to tell your past no. By the authority of the one who has all power, I don't need to go there no more. And I'm not. And we stand on the promises that are given to us by God. He says in verse 2 that he no longer should live, it says, the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And listen, he's saying that we come out from the old and now we live and walk in the new. And I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what it looks like. God says you're already victorious because you know me. He says in verse 3, for the time past of our life may suffice us, it says, who have wrought the will of the Gentiles. And he's saying that, look, past tense, it used to be, he's talking about in our unsaveness and unsaved folk. It says, when we walked, and take note, this word walk, it says ED at the end. So he's talking about past tense. We used to walk there. We don't walk there anymore. He says in lasciviousness, and that's talking about sinful sexual desire. He says lust, excess of wines, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. And look, he's talking about idolatries, that ridiculous idolatries of people, places, and sometimes things, guys, that there are times we will idolize things, and sometimes we'll say, well, no, I'm not idolizing them. I just like them. No, anything that we place ahead of the Lord, we're making that an idol. There was a time, and most of y'all know I love to fool around with cars. I do. And I used to be in a couple of car clubs. But the problem is, they would go to the races on Sunday. And all the races and shows would be on Sunday. So we would end up always, you couldn't go to church, you got to go to that church. And for a while, as a young Christian, I was doing that, man, and I was bowing to the feet of Jesus in regard to those cars. And I'll never forget, we were having a meeting one time at a car show on Sunday, and they had a round table thing, and they were having everybody go around and explaining or expressing their love for these cars. And it got to me, and I said, well, I love these cars so much. I love them. I practice them like a religion, I said. And as it came out of my mouth, it went right back into my ear. And the Lord said, oh, really? Is that how it is? And I realized that I was literally worshiping them things. I was. And God, sometimes we'll do that. Well, we might have kids or grandkids or even animals or cars or whatever it is. And we say we're not worshiping them. But many times we can't do what God wants us to do because we're too busy taking care of our idols. And we do that. And God says we shouldn't do that. And in fact, anything we place before him, it becomes an idol. And he's telling us, Peter is telling us even here, that we need to be mindful of it and we need to be careful. Again, verse 3, he says, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wines, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. He goes on, verse 4. Wherein he said they think, and by the way, he's talking about those that we used to know prior to salvation, we used to fellowship and hang with prior to salvation. He says, where they think, it says, strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. He says, speaking evil of you. And look, there's been a lot of folk, I don't talk to a whole lot of my ex-friend, my unsaved friends from back in the day, but from time to time they will connect with me, and even in my early Christian walk, they would say, oh, you're too good for us anymore. You can't hang with us anymore. And they would say, well, come on, just go to the club. Don't drink. Just sit there with us. Now, first of all, I'm an alcoholic, and you want me to go to a club, and everybody's drinking, and I'm just going to, what, sit there and drink ginger ale? That ain't going to fly. And it would run me right back to where I've been delivered from. And they say, well, you're too good for us. And well, you can sit upstairs and you can talk to your Lord up there. Now, what am I going to do going to a party and act like I'm worshiping my Lord? And yes, they will talk about you. And yes, they won't understand you. And yes, we are to witness to them. That's a good thing. But guess what? We're not to fellowship with them and their sin anymore. I had some good partners, man. Some guys I really cared about. But man, because they were going one way and I'm going the way God will have me to go, there's no way I could continue to intimately fellowship with them. Because ultimately, as I might think I'm pulling them up, ultimately they're going to pull me down. I listen to some folk who are getting married sometimes, and my first question is always, are they saved? Do they know the Lord? And if the answer is no, then you need to leave them alone. If indeed you know the Lord and save you, you'll be unequally yoked, and it's not going to work. But yet and still, there are some that say, well, they're so nice, he's so nice, she's so nice, I believe I can win them for the Lord. Well, win them for the Lord, then marry them. No, I think it's going to be okay. Many of them will marry an unsaved person, and man, that thing is going to be a shipwreck each and every time. Amen? And look, I'm preaching to myself in that regard as well, because I actually tried to go into business with folk who I knew weren't saved, and they said they were saved. I just wanted to hear it, and it turned out again to be a shipwreck. How can two walk together, man, in fellowship unless they agree? It can't work. And listen, there are folk I have who are acquaintances that are unsaved. And listen, I'm always or constantly trying to minister to them. And as long as they'll hear what God has to say, I can do that. But the moment they begin to cuss and say, I don't want to hear your Jesus, then I tell them, then you don't want to hear me. I can't be with you. And it's just that simple. And it works out just fine. And what I find is that many will come back later on and they will ask about the hope that I have. And then I can tell them about the God-man Christ Jesus. But man, I don't have a whole lot of, I don't know how much time I got left in life. But what I do know is that I don't have a whole lot of time for foolishness. I really don't. Not anymore. And folk are saying sometimes, well, I'm going out, we're going to have fun. Well, what's fun? Cavorting and drinking and getting drunk, is that fun? And I got to tell you something, guys, when I was doing that, and I did that for a long time, it may have seemed fun at the time. But man, in the morning with a hangover, and I'm saying stuff that I did the night before was starting to come back to me. Oh, no, I didn't do that. Oh, no, I didn't do that. And I saw one time a videotape of me, and I was fairly drunk. And at the time, when I was doing it, it seemed like I was cool. It seemed like I was intelligent. It seemed like I had it all together. And when I saw the tape, it was, I sound like a fool. And no, I wasn't cool. And no, I wasn't right. And look, I don't need to go back there. And God says, don't go back there. And listen, Peter's reminding us that those that are mocking you because of your stance in Jesus Christ, let them mock on. Because one day, they're going to woo the day that they mocked your stance in Christ. Amen. He says in verse 4, wherein they think strange, or think it strange, that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. It says, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? And listen, he's talking about the Lord, that one day they're going to have to stand before him. And even though they thought you was foolish, thought you weren't right, they're going to realize that you weren't on the right side of this thing. And I love verse 5, it's saying, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge? And guys, by the way, God does not judge his people. We're guilty, yes, but Christ paid for that. So he's talking about unbelievers here who are ready to judge the quick and the dead. And he's talking about quick in this instance. He's talking about those sinners, unsaved sinners that are alive and those that have went on and died. And believe me, they have not gone to glory. They're going to hell. And they will woo the day that they ever mocked you or did not receive Christ as Savior. Understand this. Hell is real, and I warn everybody I possibly can that it is real. And look, you don't want to go there. It's not going to be no party there, and you don't want no parts of that. And if the Lord is tugging at your heart on this day, and you know you're not right, ask him to come in. Because on the day that you hear his voice, we're not to harden our hearts, and we're to allow him to have his way. Because again, we don't know when we're leaving here, but when you leave here, you want it to be better. But if you leave here without Christ, it's not going to be better. It's going to be worse. Amen. He says in verse 5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause, it says, for this cause was the gospel preached unto them that are dead. And here he is talking about believers, that they might be, look, judged according to man in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. In other words, your old friend, they might talk about you. They might say you're a fool. And how could you believe that? And how could you believe somebody 2,000 years ago paid for your sins? And though they will judge you and have already determined that you're a fool. And by the way, they can call me peculiar because the Bible says as a believer, I'm a peculiar person anyway. But though man judge me or you or them on earth, they will be in glory with God and other believers. And look, I could say they would have the last laugh, but ain't gonna be nothing funny. And we have loved ones that don't come to faith in Christ, and we already know what their plight is going to be. And there's a passage in I believe Revelation that says that God will wipe all the tears from their eyes. And some of those that are lost and some of the things that were going on here on this earth, we're not carrying that in the heaven, because it's going to be happy hallelujah for over and over and all times. No tears for the one that knows the Lord. He says in verse 6, for this cause was the gospel preached also unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live, it says, according to God in the spirit. He says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore, look what he says, sober and watch unto prayer. In other words, he's saying that we need to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Man, I need to be spiritually aware at all times. And everything I see going on in this world, I look at the news and I see something over here with Israel. I see something going over with Russia. I see something even in our country. I need to relate that to what the Bible says so I will have an understanding that it ain't going to be much longer. And I need to tighten up and I need to make sure I'm in Christ. And I need to make sure I'm doing what he has called me to do and stop playing around over here and playing around over there and get serious about this thing called Christianity, because God would have it to be so. And hallelujah, the church needs you to do what God has called you to do. And as everybody, all believers are part of the body of Christ, like the human body, we all ought to be doing what God has called us, so that indeed we can be a true body. If he's called you to be the hand or service or whatever it is, be the hand. If he's called you to be the leg, well, be the leg. And as we're all functioning in the spiritual giftedness that he has given each of us, and by the way, he has given each of us a gift, that as we're walking in our gift, then the church of God can walk on and minister with Jesus Christ. Amen. He says in verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, it says, have fervent charity among yourselves. In other words, he's talking about awesome love, the love of God, the love of Christ that he's put in us. It says among ourselves, so we ought to love one another. And look, there are times when we probably won't like one another, but we got an eternal love for one another because we're going to be with one another for eternity. He says, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And guys, there are some times when you might get upset with me, and sometimes I might get upset with you for whatever reason, just petty stuff. But because I love you, man, I can override that. I don't need to put that on your account. No, Christ paid for that as well. And I can still love you, and you can still love me. And I'm not going to get all wrapped up in something simple or something petty, and I'm not going to talk to you because you did this to me, or I didn't like the way you looked at me. Stop! And Paul or Peter saying, grow up! And recognize that we're family, and family goes through things sometimes, but I still love you, no matter what, because you belong to the same Father that I belong to, and we are spiritual kin. And though we might not can't always agree on everything, there's still an eternal love that I have for God's children, because he has an eternal love for me and for you. Amen. He says in verse 8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality, he says, one to another without grudging. In other words, they did something to me 20 years ago, and I can't get over it. And there are folk who are holding grudges to somebody, and that person has gone on and died, and they still can't get over it. And Peter's saying, get over it. He says, as every man hath received the gift, And look, he's talking about the gift of salvation. If indeed you have been saved, he says, even so, minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In other words, listen, God has given me salvation, given me his love, given me my giftedness, and it's mine, and I'm to treat it right, I'm to do it right. And look, this salvation he's given me, I'm to be a blessing to others, I'm to share it with others, and I'm to treat it like it's the most important thing that I've ever had, because in reality, it really is. And look, we'll get a car, and we always wanted that car, and we go out, we wash it, and we rub it, and we wax it, we make sure it's right, or maybe it's a pair of shoes, or maybe it's a house, and we make sure it's clean. What he is saying is that he's giving you his son, and treat him like the most valuable thing you've ever had, because in reality, he really is, and we're not to mistreat him, or treat, or walk, or work in a way that's going to make him displeased. Because we're children of the Most High God, and we represent here on this earth Jesus Christ and his Father and his Holy Spirit. And as we are out and about, and we're fellowshipping over here, and walking over here, and shopping over here, and doing what we do over there, that somebody sees us, we ought to look different than those of the world, because we are ambassadors for the one who died for our sins, and we ought to act like we are. Because the one thing you don't want to hear, in fact, two things you don't want to hear. Number one, you don't want to hear somebody say, is that how Christians act like that? And you sure don't want to hear, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. When we stand before Christ in our salvation, really is lip service, but it's not heart service. We need to make sure we know who we know, and we need to make sure that he knows us. And guys, in our walk and in our talk, it ought to show in every aspect of our lives. Because when I was in the Marine Corps, they told me that 24/7 I'm a Marine. And I represent the Marine Corps every time that wherever I go and whatever I do, whether it's good or bad. Guys, we're in Christ. And we're in the Lord's army. And we represent him wherever we go and whatever we do. And listen, there are some times when, look, you might not be at your best, but man, when we do what we do through Christ and his finished works and his love, our best will always show to be our best, because we are representing him. He says in verse 10, as every man have received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards, in other words, caretakers of the manifold grace of God. And I love that. He's saying manifold. He's talking about the many-sided grace of God. And listen, you might fall short here, and the grace of God puts you up over here. You might fall short over here, and the manifold or multiple grace of God picks you up over here, and he blesses you here. And by the way, because he's forgiven you all, we can forgive each other all as well. Because we represent our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In verse 11, he says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. In other words, if I'm talking to you, I don't need to come to you with some dirty joke or with gossip or talking about somebody else. I need to speak truth to you. Because I know that that will be a blessing, and that will grow you. And by the way, sometimes the truth that I speak to you, which comes out of God's word, might have something to do with the way you're acting or something you're doing and you should not be doing. And I'm coming as the oracles of God. I'm coming to you with truth, and you coming to me with truth. And Brother Ralph, man, what you just said to that woman, or what you just said here, that's not what the Bible says. And what you have done, you just simply chastise me. And if I'm a believer, I need to take it like a man. You need to take it like a woman and say, brother, you're right. Sister, you're right. And I need to stop doing that because it's not right and it's not pleasing to my Lord. If any man speak, verse 11, let him speak as oracles of God. If any man ministers, in other words, using our giftedness, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. It says that that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And he closes out verse 11. He says, amen. In other words, when I stand before you in using my giftedness, I'm an evangelist, yes, but I'm also a pastor. I need to bring you truth. And if the only thing I'm telling you about what happened to me when I was in the South and how I got over here and got over there and didn't give you any truth, man, you can't walk in that. That's not going to bless you. But when I give you God's word, it's going to bless you and help you to understand his word even that much more clearly. It's amazing to see somebody work in the giftedness that God has given them. There are some folk I know that have the gift of giving, and they always want to give. They just give, and I'm like, well, okay, I guess I got enough. Or a gift of serving. What can I do for you? How can I do this? Or exhortation. And listen, you need to you need to be okay. God will lift you up. It's going to work out. And when folk are working in their giftedness, it's a blessing to see them work because they can't get enough, can't give enough. And God is saying that for the believer, we ought to do what he's called us to do, and we need to give it everything that we got. And he's given us to be a blessing to the body. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this time of study, in which we can look through a few verses, Father God, and allow you by your Spirit to bless me, Father, to give some understanding of it. And Lord, even as your Spirit is speaking to my heart in regard to some things that I didn't think about, but you give them to me, and I can freely give them to your congregation. And Father, for each and every one within the sound of my voice, I pray, Lord, that you'll touch and bless them. And whatever they're going through, Father God, whatever their concerns are, whatever the worries are, that, Lord, you'll help them to know that because you have all power, everything is going to be okay. Give us the answers that we need, Father God, for life's journey. And bless us to do what you've called us to do. And, Lord, we will be ever so mindful to give your name all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. As we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake, amen. God bless you guys and thank you. If you got any tattered hymn books, make sure that you throw them at Deacon Morris. God bless, guys. Thank you.
Been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp, LAMP, at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.